This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. Arrested for adding super glue to a coworker's soda. 35-year-old Joseph Ross of Wisconsin. 35-year-old Joseph Ross of Milwaukee faces one felony for placing foreign objects in edibles. A woman informed State Fair Park police that the drinks on her desk have had a strong chemical smell the last few weeks, and she got extremely sick after drinking them. After setting up a hidden camera, she caught Ross putting something in those drinks. Police found super glue in Ross's desk. Bond for Joseph Ross is set at $10,000. Three Milwaukee public schools will remain closed as lead remediation continues. The Milwaukee Health Department and MPS closed Starms Early Childhood Center, Fernwood Montessori, and Lafayette School on March 17th. All three schools are in different stages of painting and deep cleaning, which is expected to continue next week. With Fernwood and Lafayette serving as polling locations, the Milwaukee Election Commission will move voters to newer areas of these buildings, away from affected spaces. Remediation and cleaning work will be paused on Election Day. In Waukesha, bail is set for a teen accused of killing his parents and fleeing to Kansas.
I am going to give him a $1 million bail. I believe that that's appropriate.
17-year-old Nikita Kassa faces 9 felony charges, including first-degree intentional homicide and hiding a corpse in the deaths of his mom, Tatiana Kassup, and stepfather Donald Mayer in February. Assistant District Attorney Brooke Schultz says this about the teen.
The state does believe he's an extreme flight risk here. He was found in Kansas with Victim A and Victim B's property. He has been speaking with someone in Russian about moving to Ukraine after committing these crimes. So the state is concerned that he's a flight risk if he is ever released.
Kassup is due back in court on April 9th. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris continues on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of adjustment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Pop off Friday. You're listening to Sandra. You're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I am fine. How are you, Dr. Ken?
I'm good. How are you? You weren't expecting me to answer your call, was you?
Yes, I did.
Not that soon?
That was a long time, but I expected you to answer because I was going to stay on the phone.
You see, I should say opposite of every single thing I say. I don't care what I say. Sandra's right. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was going to say that on this phone. Can you answer?
What can I do you for?
Yep.
And, I knew when I started talking about AI, he was going to call.
Yeah, because I was reading about it. I mean, I was reading a lot about it, and this professor out of Ohio State, he's talking all about it and how a lot of people are going to be displaced with, you know, all this AI and high technology. Robots. Remember I was telling you about the robot taking the blood out of people?
Right.
Yeah, that's an article. I didn't read all of it yet.
Robots taking the place of phlebotomists.
Yeah.
Okay, because you say that sounds like the robot. You know, robots taking blood out of people. Robot just roll up to you and take out your blood.
That's a phlebotomy.
Yeah, but that's
that's a phlebotomy.
That's taking a blood sample. You were like, take your blood. You know. It's gonna come take your blood like this giant like thing they're gonna stick in the back of your neck, and when you're done, you all shriveled up and stuff.
Well, that's the way they put it on the headline. So that's the way I read it.
Can't take San
Diego. I hate to say, you know, I'm just saying, I think, you know, with advancements, a lot of things are going to take place. Like when you make a phone call to just for the gas company, you get all this recording. It used to be people, you know, that would answer the phone. And so a lot of things are disappearing. And maybe that's why it's the big sweep on shutting down jobs, you know. But another thing I want to say, too. I always wanted to say it. I don't get a chance to say it. I want to talk about deflation. I want to talk about these little bitty packages and cost of $3. And, oh, man.
Yep.
I just can't believe it.
I haven't seen that. I'm trying to think. You're older than me. So you remember when you could go to the store with like a dime or a quarter and just come back with so much junk that you got sick all day? Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Penny candy.
If I had dollar.
You get a lot for a penny.
Yep. If I had a dollar, I had a quarter, dude. A quarter. And I was so sick at the end of the day because I got like, let me have 10 of them square and pink and lemon cookies, and I want 10, we used to call them wine candy.
Oh, okay.
Remember them? And I need.
I remember the buttons. Yeah, buttons.
And I need three bubble gums and a pack of buttons. And I Oh my God, I got sick. I must have ate so much paper eating them buttons. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about when I say buttons?
Yeah, I know the buttons on that paper. They look like buttons.
So wait, my producer, who I'm a scream at because I always say something about him, and you know that's me saying I like him. But anyway. So it's a piece of white paper, and they put dots of chocolate, dots of candy on it, right? But it's not really glued. Yep. But I don't know how it held on there, but it held on. And you would bite the candy off the paper. But it was like 30 or 40 of them, little, because it was like a row of three or four, and it would be like 20 of them.
Yeah.
So you end up eating like 30 of them things on one little thing, and it was crazy. Oh my God!
And it's all the buttons.
The amount of paper I must have eaten over time.
I probably ate some too. I had them. I used to buy them a lot, and then those Hershey bars and all that stuff. Another thing we would deposit bottles. You know, they were talking about the trash and all that stuff.
Right.
We would deposit those bottles, and we got money to buy our penny candy. So I don't know if that's. You know, I don't think it is. I know it exists on some things, but not too much no more. But back then, I mean, we just were cashing all those bottles.
You used to be able to get
and maybe that's
four.
What,
you used to be able to get four Hershey bars for 50 cents.
Yeah.
Now a Hershey bar, one of them is
$2. $2. That's what I'm talking about. Shrinkflation.
Yep.
I went for some cough drops. Here it is. A little package, $2.99.
So watch this.
You probably had about 10. Yeah.
When I was younger, I loved Chips Ahoy cookies. I mean, I could get a half a gallon of milk and sit down and eat a whole bag when I was a kid. I mean, my mother used to get so mad at me. And they used to come in rows of two and rows of four. And the cookies were huge. Now you can get that same big pack, same size. They got like 3,000 cookies in it, right? Because they're so small. But it's actually less. Mm-hmm. It's actually less cookie than it was 30 years ago.
Snowflake.
Well, mm-hmm. probably not even 30, probably 50 years ago. You could.
Yeah.
Packaging just shrinks and shrinks. Remember like a 20-ounce soda?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like 18 and a half ounces, 18 ounces. You know, I started looking close. I'm like, that don't look right. Oh, can I have a bottle of mm-hmm. Coca-Cola? And you get a bottle of Coca-Cola and a bottle smaller.
Mm-hmm. So well, look at toothpaste. And you talk about cigarettes. I think my husband, he smokes. I think he paid $10 a pack.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I always buy them in a double pack because I just can't bring them. I'm a unit price buyer, right? So if one, mm-hmm. if I really want it and one costs this much, then the bigger one, right? I always divide it, the cost by the number of ounces, and I can see right. how much I'm paying per ounce. Sometimes it's better, sometimes right. it's not. But mm-hmm. but this $1.99, two for $3 is never better. I'm not paying $3. Mm-hmm. I'll only buy one and eat one.
Mm-hmm.
But it,
look at detergent. I'm looking at this stuff.
Please don't get me started with detergent. It's ridiculous. and here's the kicker.
Hey, so, and our dishwash stuff, yeah.
Dishwash?
Hey, you know the dish detergent you wash your dishes, the dishes with?
So what do you use?
That's expensive.
So what do you use?
I use Ajax. My husband uses, what's the other one? I got it right here, Dawn.
I use the ones that come on TV that kind of melt uh-huh. in your washer. You just put it in the thing and it melts. Well, it's the same kind
of
thing.
Oh, you're talking about the washing machine.
Right. No,
about the washing machine?
No, they have them for dishwashers and washing machines.
Oh,
I use them for washing machines too, but the thing mm-hmm. about it is I heard a podcast that talked about how you clean clothes and how you can wash any type of clothing in white water. I mean, in cold mm-hmm. water. Because they had to make the soap powder or liquid to be, I don't know what the word is, dissolvable, to be able to dissolve
mm-hmm.
in cold water. But it still had to clean. And so he did a test. And he went to go talk to the people that made soap and made you know, soap for clothes. And he said, well, no, we have to make it so that you can use it in hot, warm, or cold water. So they asked him, they said, so mm-hmm. if you want to, quote unquote, save the environment and not run up your electric and your gas bill, what do you use? He said, use cold water. So I started using cold water on all my clothes. White shirts, white T-shirts, didn't matter. Didn't matter what the color is. I put them all in together. And they all came out clean using cold water.
How was your gas bill?
When it said, it went down.
Okay.
A buck or two. But the difference was I could put in all white clothes and wash them in cold water. Mm-hmm. And it did the same thing that hot water did.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's something in your clothes where you still smell them after you get them out, then it's the clothes. It's not cold or hot water. I'm just saying. All right, well, thank you much, yeah, ma'am. I appreciate you calling.
Okay, then.
Have fun
this
weekend.
Okay, you all have a good weekend.
Warm. You too.
Oh, I got company coming in from Tennessee.
Look at you.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
She's going to be out partying. I want to see you on TV getting arrested for partying on top of somebody's car or something.
They want to go to Pottawatomie.
Oh. Wow.
So I guess I'll go to Pottawatomie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So you all have a good weekend.
All right, uh-huh. You too. She didn't even say bye. She's like, boop. She's like, bye. She didn't even say bye. Man. But I guess when you were elder in the community, you could do that, right? You'd be like, look, when I'm tired of talking, I'm done.
Number 5.
This from WISN.com. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers vetoed a Republican-backed bill today to overhaul the state's educational assessment program and school accountability reporting system. Assembly Bill 1, which passed along party lines in the Republican-controlled legislature, would have required the Department of Public Instruction to use specific cut scores and performance categories for student assigned assessments that aligned with those used in 2019-2020. So you know she changed them. It used to say below basic, basic, proficient, and advanced. Well, we don't want kids to feel bad. So now we use advanced, meeting, approaching, and developing. So when you're below basic, you're developing. When you're basic, I guess you're meeting. When you're approaching, you're proficient. I think I got that wrong. Okay, hang on. Basic, below basic is developing. Basic is approaching. Proficient is meeting. And advanced is now advanced. So the problem I have with that is this. What was wrong with it? Well, it probably made kids feel bad. And he's so pro education to the point where you can't change anything in education. But if you change it to make it sound like kids are smarter than they really are, well, I guess that's okay. I guess they believe that's okay. Because perception is more important than reality. The fact that they can't pass a test and they can't get into college and they can't get into the trades has nothing to do with the fact that they don't really understand or know what the heck it is they're doing. And that's unfortunate because these are our children. Ours. The veto maintains the Department of Public Instruction current authority to determine assessment standards and reporting methods for Wisconsin's K-12 schools. That's not true. The legislature can change anything they want. I think they should redo it. But they'll never pass it because I don't think they'll get the requisite votes to overturn the governor's veto. But the governor's going to kiss DPI's ring no matter what. They could mess up anything in the world. But in the end, they'll let them. And they don't care about your kids. When you have a new superintendent and the first thing she does is goes to, like, you have a fiscal issue, you've got a lead issue, and the first thing you do on your first day is to go to lunch with kids. You're not even at the office trying to fix stuff. You are literally at lunch with kids, walking around with some knucklehead principal talking about how great his school is because you only cherry-picked and went to the best school, right? Did you go to the school that has a lead problem? Like, did you literally go to that school and do it? No. Because you don't care. Because she's a duplicate of Jill Underly, who's a duplicate of Governor Evers. And black kids in Milwaukee will never, ever learn. I'm going to have to call Chief Norman. Where are those 25 schools that they got cops at? Is it 25 schools where they've never had a problem at? That in Milwaukee, all the white kids are bringing guns to school and shooting up people? Because when's the last time we had a shooting in a black school on the north side of Milwaukee? Okay. All right. Well, when's the last time a black kid got scorned by some 12-year-old and so went home and got his rifle and came back and started shooting people when it got off the bus? Oh, wait a minute. That was a white kid. My bad. And that wasn't in Milwaukee. I'm not saying anything negative about white people. What I'm saying is that culture has a lot to do with that. And so when you have the audacity to talk about putting, you know, cops in schools, in the back of your mind, you're really saying black schools. But when you don't have anything happening in black schools, then what do you do? Interesting.
Number four.
Also from WISN.com, Tanya Green is missing a piece of her soul. Amira was my heart. Amira was my soul, she said. I stood behind Amira no matter what. Her daughter, 17-year-old Amira Wallace, was killed in a mass shooting at Dineen Park on July 22nd of 2024. Her mother told WISN News that she was getting back on track at school and was trying to better herself. She didn't deserve to have this tragic ending, Green said. I want to reiterate that. Amira does not deserve what happened to her. She was one of 19 shot in what police now call a shooting between two feuding juvenile gangs. So far, no one has been arrested that's been related to the shooting that involved, you ready? 19 guns and 114 rounds fired from all types of calibers. The gunfire lasted roughly 45 seconds in the middle of the night. 12 News investigates, obtained search warrants showing as many as 200 teens met up at Dineen Park on the north side, 66th in Vienna. Some records show they were wearing ski masks, carrying rifles and pistols with drum magazines. Weapons of war, that's what they're called, Milwaukee Police Captain Philip Simmert said. Records show a team of Milwaukee County Sheriff's deputies are investigating the mass shooting. MCSO declined an interview, but says deputies are actively searching for people involved. It's been almost a year. So far, prosecutors haven't charged anyone for the shooting, but three people have been arrested on other gun charges during the investigation. Milwaukee police are now helping solve the crime by using the National Integrated Ballistic Information Network. That's called NIBIN. It's a federal network of casings run by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. And so it takes time, but that's one of the same ways that when we had the shootings during the Sherman Park riots, we were able to track down everything by the casings and the bullets and put them in NIBIN and go through and finally track down who they were.
Number three.
What is he doing? Like, what exactly is he doing? Oh, you're doing a video. You're doing a video?
Please don't get mad. I said, Glenn, he's going to get so mad at me.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad. It's just, y'all know that was Kyle, right? Ain't nobody mad at you. Watch this. Look at it. Look. Put your headphones on. Can you hear me? Can he hear me? You got the mute. To turn it all the way down because he's making a video, right? As soon as he starts video, turn up the volume and I'm going to scream. Go ahead. Turn it up. Turn up the speaker. Hey, Kyle! I had to get him. Okay, you can turn it back down. You can, okay, we're good. So after every show, we record a video. That was payback. Can't go get mad. I'm not mad. See? Lying on me, so I had to get you. I tell you. Anyway, from Fox6Now.com, what they're saying, attorney Robert Zimmerman, who is based in Philadelphia, represents more than 100 people who claim this very thing. A Milwaukee police officer whose gun accidentally fired and injured his partner has now joined a federal lawsuit against the weapons manufacturer. The 6-hour P320 fired without anyone pulling the trigger. The attorney, Robert Zimmerman, said the reality is people are experiencing unintended discharges when their hands are not even on the gun. 22 people, mostly law enforcement, are a part of the lawsuit. That includes MPD officer Yang Lee. His hand wasn't on the gun discharged while it was in its holster. In September 2022, Lee was searching a suspect's vehicle when his Sig Sauer P320, I remember the 220, fired. It struck and injured his partner. The officer who was injured when Lee's gun went off is part of another lawsuit against the gun manufacturer. Zimmerman, the lawyer, said Officer Lee does not trust his gun. He's had severe emotional distress from years and years of being on the force. Okay, I'm trying not to laugh, but it's a lot more traumatic things. In July 2020, no, I'm not diminishing his trauma. MPD transitioned away from the P320 3 years ago and replaced them with Glocks after several incidents. So who was the knucklehead with the city of Milwaukee? Who was the rangemaster? I don't know. Who said switch to 6-hour? I am not a gun enthusiast, but I never used a 6-hour for the reason of the rumor that they discharged. So I guess when they say it, they remade them. from the 220 to the P320. I thought that, I guess they thought they were better. Yeah. What was it my mama used to tell me? Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Live and learn.
Number two.
This from the Root. I don't know if you heard this story. You wouldn't believe what this Arizona elementary teacher did in class. What you can imagine is that this Arizona teacher got arrested. One really bad decision in the classroom led to the arrest of an Arizona school teacher, Kurt Hinton. Sixth grade teacher at Wilson Elementary School took matters into his own hands literally and has been placed on leave after a bizarre incident on Tuesday, March 18th. According to Fox 10 Phoenix, a 12-year-old boy and three 11-year-old girls who were students in Hinton's class told the principal that they witnessed him. What do you think they witnessed him doing? Peeing into an aluminum can under his desk. The students said after hearing what they thought was the sound of running water, they noticed the sound was actually their teacher urinating, adding that they caught a glimpse. They saw something that looked like a penis in the process. Hinton, 52, admitted to the act when questioned and told police that he didn't think any of his students could see him relieving himself because he was covering his private parts with his hand. CBS 19 Cleveland reports that detectives described that the desk was not enclosed and a person in the class could see the legs of anyone sitting under the teacher's desk. He acknowledged that what he did was wrong, but added that he is a new teacher at the school and he didn't know how to reach other faculty members to watch the students while they went to the restroom. Without any other options, he resorted to a tactic he says he used while he was in the military. Police arrested him for 4 counts of felony indecent exposure. He's been placed on leave while administrators conduct an investigation. What investigation? Like, what exactly are you investigating? I don't know. We have to investigate whether or not these three 11-year-old girls and the one 12-year-old boy were telling the truth because they were all able to describe the same thing at the same time with the same description. Oh, you mean that?
Number one.
This from blackenterprise.com. So this is something that I feared. You remember the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that I said we can't get rid of? They're the ones that caught the bank down in Texas that was charging people on a fixed income with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid payments, whatever it was, charging them to use a Visa card that was supposed to be free and no fees, even if they overdrafted. What it was supposed to do was when they couldn't use it is when the money was gone, so it shouldn't go through. But they set up the card and had this contract where they were getting charged fees. If you didn't use it, you get charged a fee. If you use it, you got to charge a fee. Every time you do something, they skim money off of it. Senate Republicans have voted to let banks take advantage of Americans by repealing. And this is kind of opinionated, so this is not really good journalism, but Who wrote this? Who wrote this? By Mitty Hicks today. This is not a good, well-written. The fact that you said take advantage of, just say what it is. Senate Republicans have voted to let banks increase the overdraft fees thanks to legislation put forward by Senator Tim Scott. So it's like their goal is to bash Tim Scott, who's Republican, and then praise Joe Biden, who's liberal. But I think, regardless of who it was, liberal or Republican, if Tim Scott forwarded this legislation to repeal the cap on overdraft fees, that's stupid. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau instituted a cap of $5 on bank overdraft fees. Republicans voted 52-48 to favor a legislation that would repeal the cap for banks. Scott, the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, argued for the resolution on the Senate floor, saying that removing the cap would be good for consumers. There is absolutely, positively no way that's good for consumers. That's stupid. The only Republican who voted no and joined Democrats in opposing the resolution said, why would we help big banks at the expense of working people? But watch this. They didn't say who the Republican was. See, that's the kind of slanted writing that I don't like. It's like Fox News saying a Democrat said, but not identifying the Democrat. They didn't identify the Republican. I have a problem with that. If you're going to be a journalist, be an actual journalist. Don't be so left-leaning that you just, I mean, you're actually saying the right thing. You're doing the right thing. This is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. But what you can't do is be so one-sided that you lead people to the place where you think they should be. That's the issue I have with journalism today. Tell the story, tell the facts, be done. Walter Cronkite was one of the most, y'all don't even know who Walter Cronkite is. Walter Cronkite was one of the most liberal people, Peter Jennings, Dan Rather, some of the most liberal people you ever met in your life, but you never knew it when they read the news. The news was balanced, it was straight, and that was it. But for some reason, today, we can't do that. 833-212-1017 is the number. Al, you are on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Yes, I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback, but I think where we are with the inner city of Milwaukee, I think it would be a great idea to diversify the inner city, not gentrify, but diversify.
How's that?
Because I feel like, well, because we have not we as all of us,
right?
But we have got too comfortable with not having standards. And I know when it comes to having standards, it's always a pushback and an excuse.
But wait a minute. Didn't you say that we shouldn't be kissing up to white people and kissing? So what? We want to bring white people into a neighborhood to what? Be the example for us or something or what?
No, I think it'd be, well, because it would bring a community. See, when you have a community, you have a group of people from all walks of life who take pride where they live at. Not people who make excuses.
Are you saying no black people or black people in the hood don't have a respect for their?
I've never said that. I said a community.
Oh, so you're blaming
because
the community?
No, we want to have a community, but the people we have in our neighborhood, some have this mindset, it's the hood or the ghetto. I tell people I live in a neighborhood. I don't live in a ghetto. You know, so if you bring people in who take pride, some people don't take pride, meaning some people will come outside and pour a pot of beans in a garbage can.
True.
Okay.
True.
But when you have a set standard, one, people are going to work together, not the kind of people who say, if you pick up something in front of my house, it's going
to
be a problem.
Wait a minute. But we already have a set standard. It's called don't litter. Yeah, we do. People just don't follow it. But we have a set standard. We have laws. We have laws that say you shouldn't do it. Is that a standard?
But those laws are not upheld.
Well, that's the
issue. It's a standard, but it's not upheld.
Then that's the issue. Not the fact that people don't have a standard.
But when you bring different groups and different class of people, then the community can prosper.
That's
you
called gentrification.
Gentrification
is moving the people out that are there.
Out.
Well, where are you? How can you move into a finite
place?
Listen, you can play semantics with words if you want to. Gentrification.
No, I can get real if you want to.
No, don't.
Because I don't want to cut you off. Because, see, the problem is we have this sub-level standard, and we have people who look like us making excuses.
All right.
Point blank, period, like your co-host. Stop making excuses for niggas.
I'm done. When you start screaming and hollering like that, Al, we're not putting up with it. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
It's a Queens thing, baby.
I wanna dance with you.
track master. Yeah. Rock on.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. All right, I got some stuff I got to tell y'all about right quick because, you know, we're running out of time. Hey, Truth Nation, fourth annual Tory Lowe Community Cleanup is Saturday, April 12th from 8 a.m. until 12 p.m., and we want you to be there. Go to truthcommunitycleanup.com, sign up for volunteering, and keep Milwaukee clean, just like they just talked about. You know, what Al was screaming and hollering about. Everybody who registers for the last cleanup site will get a free lunch by Cousin Sub. They'll be providing that. Register today at truthcommunitycleanup.com to clean and beautify our city together. Tory Lowe Community Cleanup on Saturday, April 12th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Presented by 1MKE. We are 1MKE. And sponsored by Cousin Subs, Rez, Coca-Cola, Landmark Credit Union, and Waste Management. 833-212-1017 is the number. Calling all Black-owned business owners and entrepreneurs. Are you looking to share your story and grow your reach? Have you teamed up with Associated Bank for our Black-owned business give back? Each quarter, four lucky businesses will win an opportunity to spotlight their brand and journey on the truth. You got it? I mean, like, that's right here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Sign up your business for the business spotlight interviews by visiting blackbusinessgiveback.com. That's blackbusinessgiveback.com. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure right here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. For official rules, head to blackbusinessgiveback.com. Associated Bank, member FDIC. No, seriously.
One call, that's all.
One call, that's all is right. So, now it's your chance to be our one call, that's all Gruber 5K entry for the day. Yes, you can be entered in to win. Blah, 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 talking too fast. You can be entered in to win $5,000 courtesy of Gruber Law Offices. Be caller number four. Right now at 833-212-1017, and you'll be entered in to win the $5,000 giveaway with the award-winning 101.7 The Truth and Gruber Law Offices. Again, caller number four at 833-212-1017. Remember, if you or a loved one has ever been injured in an accident, contact Gruber Law Offices today. Visit them at gruber-law.com, G-R-U-B-E-R-law, L-A-W.com. For official contest rules, visit 1017thetruth.com. That's caller number four at 833-212-1017.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. You'll never find. 833-212-1017 is the number. Lou Rawls. Talking text line. Let me see. SC said good evening. That's that. So it's been a slow afternoon. You can always tell on Friday. You can always tell when it's warm outside on the weekend because the talking text line just dies. Everybody will text me, oh, I listened to you on Friday. It was a great show. I was like, you didn't text or call. Oh, well, I was outside. I was playing golf. I was doing this. I was doing that. So I ain't mad at you. Give me a few minutes. I'm going to be out there with you, too. I'm just saying. All right. So here's the problem I have, right, because it's pop-off Friday. Is it time to be quiet? Like, is it time to just – is it time to just stop talking about what we're doing and publicizing what we're doing and screaming and hollering about what we're doing and develop our own channels of communication and just go dark? Yes, I'm talking about Black people going dark. Just go dark. Just shut down. Take care of everything ourselves. Work with everything with each other. Like, I'm just at a point where every time you try to do something, somebody can try to tear it down. So just position yourself to not have to bother with that. And the only way to do that is to just do it quietly. Don't talk about all your escapades. Don't talk about how great life was. Don't talk about, making a lot of money or building a business. Just quiet. Finance each other. Create those mechanisms where we can invest in each other and do it little by little, right? And just do it. Create small businesses that invest in other businesses and just go. And keep it under the radar. Do it legally. Cause it's just trash. You get tired of that. You know what I mean? You get tired of having to defend yourself and having to say, well, this is what we're trying to do, and this is what we have, and this is what we do, and this is what we, you know, and so now it's just to the point where why bother? Why bother doing those things? I mean, you know, Trump is doing, and so I'm going to start a new feature on my show, and I don't know what to call it yet. And so if you follow me on X or follow me on LinkedIn, I'm going to put a poll on what I need to call this segment, because every day after the top five at five, I'm going to do maybe the top three stories you need to know and updates about what Trump is doing. And I don't know what to call that yet. I don't want to put something out there and then next week, no, we're not calling it that. So I don't know. So I'm going to put a poll on X, and I'm going to put a poll on LinkedIn. So follow me, you know, holler at a brother and follow. And then that way you'll be able to take the poll, and that way you'll be able to tell me what I need to call it. Because we're going to have a Trump update of some of the things that he's doing that might be detrimental to the black community.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yep, it's that time. Gotta roll out. You know what? I didn't even check and see what the temperature was. Right now, where I'm sitting in Milwaukee, it is 74 degrees. All right, I'm out of here. You can keep the music playing. I'm rolling out. Y'all can see me on Wisconsin Avenue. Don't mistake me for some homeless guy walking up the street. So I'm just kidding. Had a great time this evening. Ann, I saw you popped in on the talking text line. Thank you. See, Ann is with me. She says she appreciates me. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you, Ann. And thank you, Truth Nation. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe Show's coming up next. I want to say thank you, Glenn. Appreciate you, fellow Falcon. I'll see you in 22 plus 22 plus 22, which is about 66 hours, Monday afternoon, 4 o'clock, right here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth in the Afternoon. God bless. Take care. I'm out.